This is the Chapel of His Resurrection, Esu Teaching Hospital, Park Lane, Enugu. Our vision is to present every man holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And our theme for the year is Holiness unto the Lord. Our prayer is that as you listen, the Lord will bless you richly and empower you with the grace to be holy. Happy listening.
Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that when we listen to your word, we find life, we find light, we find direction for holy living. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given us, and we ask and pray that your spirit will make this written word become living in our lives, that it shall be well with us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to thank the authorities of this chapel. A chapel, when I come here during the worship, I find myself lifted up. I thank God because the theme you have, Holiness unto the Lord, is very appropriate for this generation. A generation when you have what I call spiritual ngwongwo, syncretism in Christianity. People mix spirituality and spiritism and present it as Christianity. People mix worldliness, the libertine gospel preachers, worldliness and Christianity and present it as the true gospel. We need themes like this. Holiness unto the Lord to redirect our lives. And to show us the right way. It may not be a popular thing, but God has not changed. If you look at His word, as we are going to look shortly, you see that the standard of God has remained the same in the ages. God cannot be compromised, and God will not compromise His standards. So I want to thank you for this thing. Today we are going to look at the topic that says divine favor, the result of godly fear. Let's say it together. Divine favor, the result of what? Godly fear. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. And I would like to extend the text from verse 7. I will start from verse 5. I know many of us have King James Version, as I do have, but I would like to read from the New International Version. Because in verse 7, the word that King James, verse 8, the word that King James used is grace. But the NIV used the word favor, which is what we want to bring out in today's topic. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. And his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made them. Verse 8. But can you see the birth there? A departure. In fact, when our brother was praying today about Nigeria, the violence, not only in Nigeria, but globally, the increase in wickedness, it's as if the picture the writer of this Genesis was painting is what we are seeing in our world today, two of us. See, the great wickedness was upon the earth. Well, look at verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. King James Version says, found grace. Verse 9 now gave the CV, the curriculum vitae. We're going to look at the curriculum vitae of three Bible characters. Noah is one of them. And as we look at them, you ask yourself the question, in a world that is full of wickedness, in our generation that is full of darkness, are we like these three Bible characters? Our CV, can they meet up with them, with their own? Look at verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Look at his CV. Noah was a righteous man, number 1. He was blameless among the people of his time, number 2. And look at number 3. And he walked with God. Hallelujah. As I said, the theme on holiness is very commendable. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14, just to emphasize the fact that God's standard has not changed. There you say, follow peace with all who? With all men. And then what? Holiness. Without which no man shall see what? See the Lord. That's what is there in Hebrews 12 verse 14. And I remember Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. Let's look at it. I would like to read it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Until when? Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was not done. He wrote to the Corinthian Christians in his second letter, chapter 6, from verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Let me tell you, my simple understanding of holiness is simply separation from the world unto the Lord. Separation from the trend. Separation from the values. We are not saying you should go to the monastery. No. It's not what we mean. God says, as you live in the world, you will be separate. Different. That has been God's standard. If you look at where he called Abraham, he told him to come what? Out. God's standard has not changed. We are the people that are trying to change it. In every generation, man tries to lower the standard. That's why Christianity is going in the West, in the Western world. The white man wants to change, wants to compromise Christianity, but they cannot. Because God's standard will not change. And so, Brother Paul was writing to them. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Say the Lord. Say, I'm not the one that said it. He said, say the Lord and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll do what? I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, say the Almighty. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Having therefore these promises that have been stated, dearly beloved, let us clean ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the topic so that we don't deviate from the topic. I'm only trying to lay a foundation that this thing, very relevant and very appropriate for the topic. As I told you, there are three men, among them is Noah, that God gave exceptional CV about them. And God was boasting about these three men. We are going to look at them. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14. And after that, look at verse 20. God repeated that about three men in the scriptures. Ezekiel 14, 14. And Noah, whom we are considering today in the Bible text, is one of them. Ezekiel 14, 14. Are you there? Look at what it says in verse 14. I'm reading from the King James Version. Though these three men, number one, Noah, two, Daniel, and Job, we are in the land, even in their generation. It's like God will come to Nigeria and behold the wickedness that is in Nigeria, that is in our generation. And God will begin to boast about three men. That if I can find people like these three men, I've considered a CV, if I can find people like them, they will save themselves from my judgment. That's what God is saying there. When he was boasting about these three men, he says, we are in the land. They should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, say the Lord God. Look at verse 20. Again, God repeated that. They, Noah, Daniel, and Job, we are in it. As I live, say the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their own righteousness. Hallelujah. Why did God mention these men? That's what the question we are going to answer today. Why? There are so many men in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Look at David. The Bible says, the man after my own heart. When God was boasting, he mentioned these three men. Why? We are going to see that in the scripture. Can we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10? Deuteronomy 10, 12 to 13. Because of time, I think I will read it. But if you want to read, I will permit you. If you are keen in reading, I will give you the microphone, you read. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? Kedu ihe Chineke na-achọ n'aka gị? Kedu ihe Chineke na-achọ n'aka unu? What does God require of thee? Look at it. But one, to fear the Lord thy God. That's number one. To walk in all his ways. Number two. And to love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Brethren, there are three things there. You may look at that scripture. You may get confused to it. But there are three things God is mentioning there. What he requires from man. Number one, intimacy. Intimacy. Say it together. Intimacy. You may say, where is intimacy written there? Look at where it says, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Intimacy with God. Now look at the second thing God requires from man. Reverence. Reverence. Godly fear. That's the topic today. Divine favor. The result of godly fear. And you say, where is it written? My own says, King James Version. But to fear the Lord thy God. And the last one is obedience. That's what I'm seeing there. I don't know whether you saw obedience there. Are you seeing obedience there? To walk in all his what? Ways. Other translations may bring it out better, but I'm reading from King James Version. And these things appear to be a cycle. If you live a life of intimacy, it will lead to reverence for God, and it will lead to obedience. They go together in a cycle. You cannot divorce these three things. And I want to let something to you. Do you know that the Lord's Prayer, the first part of the Lord's Prayer, is talking about these three things? Some of us parrot the Lord's Prayer without knowing what it means. Some parrot it off head. Our Father, who art in heaven, reverence. Do you know that the average Jew find it difficult to mention the name of God? The average Jew, the devout Jew. They so much reverence the name that they can't mention the name. Our Father. Intimacy. Who art in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Reverence. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Obedience. Can you see what God requires? Now, let's look at the CV, the curriculum vitae of these three men. We are going to begin with Noah. Because Noah is the principal character we read from our text today. When I was reading Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, the thought flashed in my mind. Check the list of the heroes of faith to find out whether Noah is there. And I turned to that chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, the popular chapter we know about faith. And you look at verse 7. I want us to see a revelation that the writer of Hebrews wrote on that verse 7 about Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, King James Version, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What's the topic today? Divine favor, result of what? Godly fear. He moved with what? Fear. And did what? Prepared an ark. Is that not obedience? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hallelujah. Can you go back to Genesis 6:9? Genesis 6:9. I want you to look at the attributes of Noah there. One, godly fear. Godly fear, that's number one. Look at that verse 9. Noah was a just man. That's King James Version. And perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. So he had godly fear. He had intimacy with God. He walked with God. He was blameless. Another translation, NIV says he was blameless. He was a righteous man. Look at his CV. Why will God not favor such a man? When God has told us what he requires from man in Deuteronomy chapter 10, and Noah was living that life. Now, let's look at another man, Job. We want to look at his CV. And in looking at CV, I learned something from what Satan said. Hallelujah. You may say, how can we learn something from what Satan says? But you are going to see. In Job chapter 1, 8 to 10, I got a revelation of the scope of divine favor. When we talk of divine favor, I saw a scope. And I began to relate it to my life. And the life of the testimony of some people, which I'm going to tell you very soon. Look at Job chapter 1. Can someone read it for us? Let me give permission. Somebody read Job chapter 1, 8 to 10 for us. King James Version. I want us to look at his CV and compare it with that of Noah. Yes? Anybody? Yes, please. Give him a microphone. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered this my servant Job? Let me give you his CV. Yes?
That there is none like
him. There is none like him.
A perfect and an upright man.
A perfect and an upright man. Blameless man. Blameless.
One that feareth
God. Hey, reverence for God. One that fears God. Just like Noah. Yes?
And escheweth evil.
And escheweth evil. Now look at the answer of Satan. I got a revelation from there about divine favor. Yes?
Then Satan answered the Lord and said,
oh, yes.
Does Job fear God for naught?
Does God have reverence for God for nothing? Yes?
Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house?
Thank you. Protection. Can you see divine protection? That's the scope of God's favor. Protection, yes?
And about all that he has on every side.
Yes?
Thou hast blessed the work of his hands.
Prosperity.
And his substance is increased in the land.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much. Can you see the scope of divine favor? Protection and prosperity. There was a missionary that came to one of a Christian conference I attended in Calabar. He was a missionary in Kogi State. And in that land, you know, Kogi is a place where people encounter powers of darkness. Because of the backward. When you pass through that, as you're going to Abuja, you realize what I mean. The people are so backward. I'm sorry there is a person from Kogi here. But that's the reality. And there is darkness. And he was saying that throughout his missionary encounters, he has realized one thing about divine favor. He says it does not come by physical battle. Or does not come by allocating to himself 21 days of dry fasting. You know, some places people box Satan. And you see them boxing Satan, they are sweating. It's not that type of warfare. He says that one thing he has discovered, 90% of the times, that divine protection that comes to him comes from his right standing with God. Hello? 90% of the occasion, that he doesn't sweat, he doesn't struggle. He realizes that God protects him in that missionary field whenever he is in right standing with God. Divine favor. The result of what? The result of what? Godly fear. And what of my own experience? My own experience is proven by what Satan said here. That God has put a hedge round about all that fear him. Round about all that walk with him. Round about us who are called his children. He has put a hedge. But the enemy can bite through anything that is an opening, that hedge. Depending on how we live. That's why Paul was warning Timothy, watch your life and doctrine what? Closely. Let me tell you my experience. And when that missionary was saying that, I was relating to myself. I said, this is true. This is very true. No wonder Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He says what? Examine yourself from time to time. Don't assume you're okay. Examine yourself to know whether you are still in the faith. There were times I will come
and I will see evidence of witchcraft attack on me. You say, how do I know? Some of you doubt spiritual forces. Yes. Some who are seated here in the church today, they doubt whether these things exist. Some think they are fairy tales. No, they are not fairy tales. I've experienced one. I will see marks on my body when I wake up from sleep. If I see somebody has used razor and scratch on my body. The day I saw it one day, I knew that as a doctor, I know that it looks like what the surgeons they call laceration. I said, how can I lacerate myself with a razor blade? It's not possible. But I knew these are spiritual attacks, witches and wizards. If you think they don't exist, they exist. And I made a check of my life, and I knew that there was a problem in my life. I knew. And I made restoration. I didn't immediately, the Spirit of God reminded me the areas. He reminded me. That's why we need to be open to Him. He reminded me the areas, and I made confession. I didn't need to fast for 21 days. But I made those corrections and began again to live a life of reverence for God, intimacy with God, righteousness. These three things God had been boasting about these three men. And when I did them, these things disappeared. I never saw them again. That was when I realized that what that missionary was saying was true. 90% of the case times is your right standing with God that will bring God's protection to you. And I dare say God's prosperity. Divine favor. The result of what? Godly fear. Let's look at Daniel. Another person God boasted about. Let's look at his CV. Daniel chapter 1, 8 and 9 is a popular scripture where Daniel, with other three Hebrew young men, they resolved not to do what? Defile themselves with what? The king's meat or the royal food served them. And you may ask yourself, why did they refuse? Bible commentators felt that this food was actually sacrificed to idols. And you know how the average Jew who was taught the Ten Commandments, how God desires and is jealous of worship, and therefore if you should begin to look elsewhere or worship other gods, you consider that as a big offense towards God. And Daniel and the other three Hebrew children, we are people that we are devoted to their God. That's what they say. We will not eat this food that has been sacrificed to idols. Far be it from us. And the Bible recorded in Daniel chapter 1. Verse 8 and 9. I would like us to read it. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into what? Into what? Yes. It naturally follows. That is divine law. And that's why I was so excited with the topic. Divine favor, the result of godly fear. And tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Have you seen another revelation about God, divine favor? That when God brings favor, it's not only prosperity and protection. He brings you favor before the eyes of men. That's another scope of divine favor. Men will look at you with favor. Hallelujah. Now, there's another CV I want us to look at. Chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And this one will apply to those who are in government. I don't know whether you are in government and you are here. This message, this lesson from the life of Daniel is applicable to you. Look at Daniel chapter 6, 4 and 5.
Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none. They could find none occasion, nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither there was any error or fault found in him. Then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it concerning him, find it against him concerning the law of his God. Hallelujah. Daniel was in the midst of government. One translation says there was no corruption that was found in Daniel. In spite of the fact that they laid traps for him, traps to set him up, and they are going to come, for those who are in government, you call yourself a child of God, traps will be laid for you. And this is the time to show your integrity, to dare to be like Daniel. And when you do so, don't say, let me follow the trend. That's the way it is done. When you do so, you shall receive divine favor. I don't know the scope of that favor. But remember, we are seeing the scope of divine favor today. Protection, prosperity, favor in the eyes of men. And you know what happened to Daniel. Remember the story. How he was now put in the lion's den. Did God protect him? God protected, delivered him. So you can see that God was bound to carry out what he promised. And it has been like that in the life of the children of God. So, godly fear results in divine favor. That's a major lesson I want us to take home today. And I'd like us to read Psalm 5:12 together. If you get it, turn it. Let it be a memory verse. You know, when we do Bible studies, we talk about memory verse. If you have not remembered anything in the sermon, the message today, I want you not to forget this scripture. This is what, and the way it starts. This scripture, the language that was used, tells you with certainty that says surely it will come to pass in your life. That's the way it starts. The NIV translation says, for surely. Nezie, the Hebrew translation may call it nezie, nezie. God cannot lie. So I want us to read it together. Psalm 5 verse 12. You may have different translations, but it doesn't matter. I want us to read it together. Psalm 5 verse 12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Who has Living Translation here? Does anybody have Living Bible? Yes, thank you.
For you bless the godly man, O Lord. You protect him with your shield of love.
You protect him with your shield of love. Hallelujah. But let's use NIV to end this message. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. And we are looking at the lives of these three men. They were righteous men before God. I said, you surround them with your favor as with a shield. My question is this. I ask my question as I challenge you to ask yourself. Are you among the righteous? The message will end now. But this question is very important before I end this message. Am I among the righteous that is mentioned here? The characters we looked at are characters in the Old Testament. You ask yourself the question, what God expected from those lives, are they the same things expecting from you and I in this dispensation of grace? The answer is true. But
there is a dimension of righteousness which everybody that calls himself a Christian should be clear about in his mind. And very unfortunate that many people that call themselves Christians don't have this perspective of righteousness clear in their mind. And Brother Paul summarized it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Some Bible commentators call it the Great Exchange. Some of you have gone to bureau to change, to exchange money. The picture of this exchange is what Paul is using to summarize the gospel. We are talking about who is the righteous. Onye bụ onye ezi omume ahụ a na-ekwu okwu. Are you in the number? So that this promise in Psalm 5:12 will apply to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. I'll write to read it from King James Version and we shall end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he had made him, who had made him God, had made who? Jesus. To be seen for us. Who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who? In Jesus. I don't know whether you understand the exchange there. Do you understand the exchange? That when Jesus was hanging on the cross, everything about you, every sin about you was there on the cross. Every punishment that you deserved was meted on him. And it didn't end there. His righteousness he now gave to you. The great exchange. And let me tell you, whether you believe it or not, is a spiritual fact. But the issue is appropriating it for your life. That's the issue. And that's why every time people are challenged to take a step of faith, you are not being worried. People say, you are worrying us. After all, we didn't come into church. Why must I be told to stand up and make a confession and ask Jesus into my life? You know yourself. Nobody knows you more than any other person. And so when the message of God comes and the Spirit of God tells you, you are not among the righteous, he is giving you opportunity. He says, today is the acceptable time of what? Salvation. So today, as we decide to see if the promise in Psalm 5, verse 12, will be appropriated to myself. Oh Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor. Just like Noah, who had godly fear, received favor. Today, you can be a child of favor. Hallelujah! You can be a child of favor, but take a step of faith. As Paul is writing, or was writing to the Corinthian Christians. And as we pray, do not be shy, do not be afraid to make this greatest change and accept his righteousness in your life. And the favor of God will be your portion. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. As we stand, let's pray, let's pray. When the message of God comes, if it comes for a purpose, his word will go to work out his purpose and cannot return to him void. Do
Do not allow the message of God to be void in your life. Perhaps the Spirit of God has spoken to you through the words that have been spoken. I don't know which word the Spirit of God has used to prick your heart. But when you receive this pricking from the Spirit of God, God expects you to do something, to respond to Him. In this mood of prayer, and as you look into your life, I'd like to invite our Archdeacon, Professor Nwasigwe.